Joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline here is Ray Ferraro. What's up, Ray?
Not much, you know. Trying to come up with something interesting, not much.
Okay.
Just bought a Valentine's Day card because I just realized it's Valentine's Day.
There you go. We just got some great advice, our last guest, on how to deal with that. So at least you're ahead of the curve. You're going to come home with something.
Yeah, it was not one of my most well-planned out Valentine's Days, I got to say that. Although I will say, I'm not so sure that I got anything either because I haven't gotten anything yet, so who knows.
Yeah, that's kind of was a part of the conversation we just had where, you know, there was a lot of reflection, I think, in the room. The boys were looking in the mirror and we're like, yeah. Okay, what can we do a little bit differently? And we went around the table and we're like, well, are we expecting anything when we get home?
No.
And I don't think so.
No, I'm not.
So that's fine. You know, we'll enjoy each other's company. What's wrong with that?
If you're in a loud house,
what a great idea.
You could ask for peace and quiet. That's what you would like.
That would be great.
Good luck with that. Yeah, good luck.
I got a buddy who, for every Father's Day, he asks that his gift is that everyone leaves the house so he can watch the U.S. Open Sunday final by himself.
I love it. That is perfect. Especially if you can mix in 18.
Phenomenal. He's like, yeah, he's like, I don't need anything else. Just could you guys, like, go somewhere?
Just leave for one day.
It's the ultimate prize. Like, it's actually the ultimate showing of love and care.
And respect.
And respect.
Sunday, Augusta, Sunday of a major in golf, I just say to my kids, you're not going to believe how long I'm going to sit in front of the TV today. But it's probably going to be somewhere around 10 to 12 hours straight. And they're like, for what? I'm like, a golf tournament, and they just can't come to grips with it.
No.
I says, four times a year, just leave it to me, and I literally will buy you whatever you want on this particular day.
Yep. That sounds about right. And, you know, three of the four, you can't really play with the British. You could play after, but if you mix in 18 in the morning
and then couch time.
Oh.
That's a lottery win.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, that's a Valentine's Day gift right there. Mark it in your calendar. 18 and then 18 hours of golf coverage. Anyway, the Leafs losing last night, and we brought up the stats. Like, you know, we were talking about this yesterday with you, Ray. I kind of look at it as a coin flip, and it's not based on one game. You know, it's for me, it's based on the 58 games they played this year, on whether or not they're going to get in. They've been kind of kicking the can a little bit recently. Florida doing the same thing. It's like neither team really wants to take the bull by the horns. But I went back and looked over their 58-game sched, throwing out their best 10-game stretch, which was a 9-0-1 stretch, and throwing out their worst 10-game stretch, which was a 3-5-2 run. The remaining 38 games, the Leafs are 18-15-5. So just kind of there. You know, just okay. And I kind of felt the same way watching the game last night. I thought they played pretty well, but couldn't get the win. And one more game, you scratch off the list, and you just continue to grind and hope that something allows them to snap out of it. And they go on a heater, and they find a way to backdoor their way into the playoffs.
Except one of the reasons I think they're going to make it is that I think Florida does the same thing. Like, I don't see them all of a sudden becoming this team that overtakes third place in the division and the Leafs are out of the wild card by that time. And, you know, like, I don't see it with Florida. Now, maybe Florida adds a defenseman at the deadline or something that makes them better there. And maybe Bobrovsky turns into some semblance of the guy he's been for the last few years because he's been no good. Right? Like, but otherwise, they're not. There's no one else to lose a playoff spot to.
Right, yeah. Between those two, yeah.
Right? Like, if you don't get third, I mean, these guys have played themselves into hot water in the wild card,
mm-hmm.
like both Florida and Toronto.
Yeah.
But I think Toronto will finish in front of Florida just because I don't really see Florida, you know, putting it all together. I don't know what's happened. You know, Noodles, maybe you do with Bobrovsky, but holy smokes, man. Like, their defense isn't good enough to make up for the infrequency of him stopping the puck.
You know, the one thing I've noticed in his game in the last couple of weeks, like, he was brilliant against the Leafs. I thought he got him the 2 points that night, and then he got him a point the next night in Columbus.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He was awesome that little stretch, and there's been times where I thought his game was coming out of him. The one thing I've noticed about Bobrovsky, which I haven't seen in past years, is his rebound control. He gave up two awful rebounds last night that cost them goals, and you can have help from your D. Like, that's the truth. Your D can help you out if they're in the right position to move the pucks out. But he got beat on, I think it was a right-handed shot come down the wall last night, short side shelf. Terrible goal. And to me, it's just back-breaking goals at the wrong time. We see it throughout the league, regardless if it's Bobrovsky. We saw Hutchinson against the Rangers. Like, goaltenders are going to allow goals, but it's the timing of them that kills your team. Last night, Florida could have been in that game, but they were chasing it afterwards, and that was it. And then
it was
Philly
the same thing here
in
Toronto. Dallas scored on the first shot of every period.
Yeah.
The first
it's
shot.
Deflating.
Of every period.
Rushing.
And, you know, that's going to determine a lot, too, right? You can isolate those two guys, Bobrovsky and Anderson. Who can give you better numbers between now and the end of the year?
Right. You're right. Like, it could... I guess it's the most important position. We talk about it so much, but
right.
I just don't see. I guess the numbers are telling us that Freddie's been inconsistent and up and down. I just always seem to think of him as way more solid than his numbers are telling us that he is. Right, and maybe the way that he's played is not what I have in my head. Bobrovsky, since the minute he stepped in Florida, has not been good. And had he been just the league average, Florida's not in the spot they're in. And then I look at their team, and the other day they've got a fourth line of Mark Pesek and Mike Matheson and Noel Acciari. And I'm like, well, how can that work? They got eight defensemen dressed, and then both defensemen scored.
Yeah.
Like, I don't even get their lineup, really.
Yeah, it is weird.
But yet, like, they're third in scoring in the league.
Yeah.
Like,
well, the big boys score.
They can't defend.
And if they can't defend, then it's all on the goalie, and, oh, boy, that's just...
Well, that's
not been good.
You're right. Like, Freddie, if you look at it, he's a pretty consistent goaltender as far as the way he makes saves, his style. But that, it does speak to the Leafs in their own end as well. Like, that's it's not a secret. We've been talking about it since we've been... complains about it once a week. Like, how long have we been talking about the Leafs in their own end? And to me, your goaltender has to be your best player to mask some of that issues. And if he's average or less, you give up goals. Or
they've been poor in their own end since I started working here. That was back in the Phil and Dion days. Like, that's... Every year we're like, well, they're not very good in their own end. Like, they give up chances, they do this, they do that.
Well, what do you make of, Muzzin's deal? It sounds like it's real close. You know, they just got to push it over the finish line. But a lot of people projecting somewhere around 4 years, maybe 5.5 per. What do you make of that, Ray?
Well, I guess I look at it that if you don't have him, if you don't sign him, then you've got to go find somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to go find Jake Muzzin and hope that you could pay him a little bit less. Because quality defensemen are going to cost you $5 million. That's what it seems like anyway. So if you have Riley at 5 and him at 5.5, you got Hall at 2, it's 12, Sandin's under $1 million, that's 13. You know, now you got Dermott and Liljegren that don't make much money. Then you can try and take a bigger swing at a right D guy, which is what they're going to have to do. Like, it would seem to me that the one guy that's out there at this time that's a free agent is Pietrangelo. Right?
Yeah.
He's not signed in St. Louis. And
right.
I don't know if St. Louis can get his contract done. I don't know if, what the unfortunate circumstances around Jay Bouwmeester, I don't know if that changes any. Like, I don't know, but...
I don't understand that one, Ray. Like they brought in Falk. Like is that a backup plan? For
I think
Pietrangelo?
That was a bridge. Yeah, to me that reeked of like
know,
if they can't
leave,
get it.
You could
sorted.
Leave Falk in Carolina and get the Pietrangelo done because Pietrangelo is going to say if I want a deal, it's the Yossi deal, and that's the only deal I'm signing.
Yeah, as he should.
As he should.
Yeah, as he should.
But like Ray just said though, regardless of how you look at it, the Jay Bouwmeester situation may have just opened the door for them to give him that money. Ultimately.
Right, if Bouwmeester doesn't play again.
Right. I mean,
isn't Jay only making a 2.5 or something?
Well, I thought he
three,
was a little
three,
bit,
I think.
You thought he was 3-something, yeah, 3.5. But yeah, but it's still... That's,
so that frees up another $3.5 million on your cap. And
exactly.
But who else is there? Like, I don't know offhand, and it's unfair to ask right now, like, but which other right-handed D are going to pop up in free agency unless you go the trade route and you get into trying to wedge out Matt Dumba or somebody like that?
Well, that's where it gets interesting here. If Muzzin re-signs, you've got Riley here for 2 more years. You've got Sandin who's going to play, and you've got Dermott. So you've got 4 guys who shoot left. So either one of them is going to play on the right side,
or one of them's going. You know which player becomes expendable in that scenario.
I would say
that's Dermott.
Dermott.
Right.
Yeah, I would,
yeah,
would think so, too.
But, you know, you look at it like... maybe on a lesser extent, like Hamonic is an unrestricted free agent. TJ Brody's going to be an unrestricted free agent. Like there are players out there that they can eye that can play top 4 minutes. I don't know what their price points would be given the market, but you know, I the biggest worry for me right now is are they going to try or are they going to go into the playoffs with this group here? And Morgan Riley looks to be.
End of March.
So we're talking April. Let's just say April 1st.
Mm-hmm.
Like, is that the group that they're going with? Or are they going to me, I think Kyle's still has to be hunting here. Don't you think?
Well, again, it will be determined based on how he really feels about the team. You know, like, how good do you think this team is? So, like, the difference between a rental and a trade. Like, if you acquire Dumba, and I know his name is out there and all
right.
That's a deal if you make today, you make it the draft, you make it August, it's all the same. It's a a trade for a young guy on term for the future. And but if we're talking about just plugging holes because Johnson's now out for the rest of the year, and who knows what you're going to get when Riley returns, then you start getting into trading picks and prospects, and I think they got to be really careful with that. Like, for just a 15-game stretch and maybe into the playoffs for a round or two? I mean, how much are you willing to pay for that?
I guess, like, that's where, you know, these deals get made and picks get thrown in. And maybe in the last few years we've started to pay more attention to them. But, like, you say, oh, we got this player, and, yeah, but we only gave up a couple picks. Now, when we can track the picks better, you go, oh, that second-round pick turned out to be that guy. And
right.
You're like, ooh, boy. And managers, I think, are probably a little more gun-shy of, you know, taking a full swing at a trade now when they are so tied, much more tied to their draft picks than they've ever been.
What about a guy like Vatanen, who's unrestricted and, like, you know, to me, he's a bit of a riverboat gambler.
He's kind of like Barry,
basically. He's the last thing you need.
But he is a proven NHL player, puck-moving defenseman that if they're going to play with this style, regardless if you like it or not, if that's the style that they would like, a puck possession, circle back, have a guy advance the puck. And
I think that's the last thing they need. They got enough of that.
Well, okay, but would you, based on if I just had to ask the question to the three of you now, would you want to go into the playoffs adding Vatanen to that group or go with that group based on what you had to pay for that? Like that, because I can't see him being massively expensive at the deadline.
I would rather tell Buffalo to eat a bunch of Bogosian's money and take a sniff on him.
If Bogosian's healthy, that's my biggest worry. Like, I like him, and he's a heavy player, and he can, you know, I think he can give you minutes, but when's the last time Ray, you do a lot of games, I do a lot of games. Like, I've never seen him in the lineup.
Healthy. Yeah,
like he's really had health issues throughout his whole career, going back to Atlanta when he was playing there.
When he hurt his hip a few years ago, I mean that was just one more thing to it. Now he went in the same draft as Drew Doughty, and I heard this great story about, you know, Zach was doing the Wingate test. And so remember that hell test. And they've got guys holding the bike down while the player's just all his power. He's pedaling away. And one of the members of the Kings organization that was there said, man, I hope we got this right, because look at that beast on the bike, and there's our guy over in the corner. And it was cruising over there.
That sounds about right. And they got it right.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. He that's exactly what Bogosian would be, like a combine player. Like, the NFL is most famous for it. Guys show up. You watch the game tape. You're like, that guy doesn't know how to play football. Like, look at him. He can't catch a ball. He can't run a route. But he runs like a 4.35 40.
Yeah.
There's 40 reps on the bench. And they're like, I'm taking him in the second round. Like, wow. I have to.
But you know what? I look like Robin Regier was like that. But Regier could play.
Could play. If you can find both of them,
that's the thing.
Set,
like, Regier would do those wind gates. You know, what are you supposed to usually do? They say it's about 2.5 minutes on those wind gates. You know, when
which
they,
is like a bike, right?
Yeah, it's a bike, but they drop the weight on it, and it's ridiculous.
It's murder. Yeah.
He would ride for almost 5 minutes and then quit. Like, that's how ridiculously gross it was. Like, I would struggle to get to 230, maybe 218, 222. Like, Regier would quit at 5 minutes. Like, just get off.
Yeah, that's so annoying. That's just natural ability.
Like, freakish ability. And that's, to me, that's what Bogosian has, is that type of ridiculous strength. Which something, I mean, you know, Muzzin is a different type of player, but Muzzin is one of the only D in the Leafs organization that has some bite.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, I guess the one thing that every team, it's not Toronto, it's every team, they get into a player of Muzzin's age, and the question always has to be, so if it's 5 years... Now he's 35 or almost 36, right? When that deal goes.
Right.
Like, you know, like... It,
there's
but
a gamble
if you don't
there.
Sign him, yeah, then you don't sign him. Now you got to go find somebody. And who are you going to find? And is he going to be as good? Well, maybe he's a little cheaper, but if he's nowhere near as good, then we'll just pay him the fifth year, right? Like, it's a tough deal when you get towards 30 and the end of these contracts.
There isn't much of a debate on Zach Kassian. In the idiocy of what took place in Tampa last night.
What the hell was he thinking?
There's nothing to say.
That would be the basis of my suspension. You're getting 5 to 7 games for being an idiot. That was ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got no case. None. Like, he kicked a guy in the chest with his blade. It's a Happy Gilmore move.
Yeah, it's indefensible in the sense that you can't rationalize it. Like, even in emotion, all of that. I saw his comments after the game. The guy was holding his foot. He was just trying to kick it loose or whatever. Yeah, the optimal word, kick it. You know, kicking it loose. Like, you can't do it. He's going to get a big number because, Ray, you know, I saw you on Twitter, but also, like, he's a repeat offender. He just went through a suspension.
And he had people sympathizing for him, though.
Well, and that
to
one.
To an extent. And now people are like, okay, here we go again.
That's not the case on this one. Yeah.
Same old Zach Kassian.
It's a tough one.
Well, there's two things here. Like, one is, you know, there's a lot of blowback about, well, why should he get suspended hard? Chara only got $5,000 fines for cross-checking Gallagher in the throat. Well, that's
two different things.
This is my biggest problem. Two completely different things. And one, just because they screwed up with the Chara thing, like that, we talked yesterday on that. That's how it's not a suspension. I don't get it. But this, they don't. I don't. If they come out and suspend him for 3 games. Like, how ludicrous is that?
Well, he's
kick the guy.
He's got an in person. I think it's going to be minimum 6. Like, 5 or 6 for sure.
Like, yeah.
See, Noodles, I think it's got to be more.
Well, I'm saying minimum, though. Like, Hayes said he wouldn't be shocked if they just said it's a dime and try and convince me otherwise.
That's how I would approach it with all these. I would make it standardized in the rule book. You kick someone, you get 10 games, and you can fly to New York and try to convince me that it should be 5 or 7 or 8. If you spit on someone, it's 10. Use a racial slur, 10. Like, I would just write them all in because there's never any excuse for it. Like, there's none. And I know people always say, well, it's not like it's some epidemic or this big problem. So what? Yeah, because it's so stupid. 99.9% of players would never do it. So just hammer it and see you later.
Well, and it's like it's an easy one. You're right, Brian.
Yeah.
Like, when's the last time we saw this? I saw somebody post one. Skinner got a couple of games a few years ago. Drakes had posted that.
Right.
But I don't even really remember that play, and I don't remember this. Like, no. I don't remember somebody doing this kind of thing since Chris Simon way back in the day.
Well, and with McDavid out, you know, Cassian is a guy playing in the top six and has had a very good year. In Edmonton,
got himself a new contract.
Right.
Yeah, he hasn't been good since the contract came, but he did play well their first game. McDavid was out. He got an assist on Sheehan's goal and looked pretty good, but you make a play like that, you know, to your point, Brian, like, regardless of if he's producing or not, it's another top six player out for Edmonton.
You need him.
Yeah.
You know, and I haven't heard anything on McDavid. It's been, how many days now? 5-6 days, and not that we're expecting it to necessarily happen by this weekend.
You're not going
to
hear anything either. He's locked down.
Kind of sounds like
he's just going to show up one day.
Yeah.
Like, I feel
well,
like that's
no,
what's
you
gonna
guys
happen.
Might know. You guys might know first when he brings his MRI in for Oda Reed.
Yeah, we're still waiting on that. What happened with that?
Oh, you're the guy that knows all the MRIs. You apparently knew all the people that they were associated with.
Yeah, that's right. I got a connection in the MRI community. That's where I get my scoops.
Dr. Hayes.
Completely useless scoops, but I have them.
I think what's going to happen is, like, McDavid's going to come into the studio. His hair's going to be all over the place because he's just so nervous, and he's going to say, oh, give me the goods. Can I play? And O's going to read the MRI and give him the word.
Yeah.
The touch of God. Just touch his knee and he'll be fine.
That's right.
The specialist himself, the O-Dog. All right, buddy. Well, good luck with the Valentine stuff tonight.
Yeah, I got to go. I see Cammy's not home, so I got to go write this card out before she gets here.
Oh, good plan.
Just sign it, Ray Ferraro, and your number.
That would be awesome. Give her my autograph. Best wishes.
Yeah.
The beauty of that is Cammy could respond with one.
Yeah, exactly.
And be like, how about
Hall of Famer? Hall of Famer.
Yeah, she puts HOF, and you better throw yours in the garbage quickly.
Yeah, my card's got HOF and her gold medal on it. Beat it, pal.
She See you later.
Off I am.
All right, buddy. Enjoy it. We'll do it Monday at 5.
Yeah, talk to you Monday. Have a great weekend, guys.
There he is, Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst, joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's time to Toyota fall in love with your car again with rates as low as 0% at Maple Toyota, right next to Canada's Wonderland.